Mr. Depp, the jury's heard quite a bit from Ms. Heard's side about your drug and alcohol use, but I'm sure they'd like to hear from you. So could you please just tell them about your history of substance use?
Certainly. Again, this goes back to when I was a young boy. At about the age of, 4 or 5 years old, I can remember vividly my mom telling me to go get her nerve pills, out of her purse that was hanging on the back of the door. So I'd go get the nerve pills and I'd bring her the nerve pill. She'd take it. And, after a few years, you start to notice, you start to think about nerve pills. And then she seemed to calm down after she took those nerve pills. So when I was 11 years old, I wanted to calm down. And I didn't know how to. So I'd bring my mom her nerve pill, I would walk away, and I would take one myself to escape caring so much, feeling so much, to escape the chaotic nature of what we were living through. So that was the beginning when I realized that nerve pills calm the nerves. Pretty young age to do that. I can't say that I'm proud of admitting to that, but I have to say that I knew not what else to do. I knew nothing else that I could do. So as we were all growing up, there was always those kids who would say, "Let's party. Let's go party. I want to party." I've never used the word party in my life. I've never taken any substance for a party. I have taken these substances over the years, on and off, to numb myself of the ghosts, the wraiths that were still with me, and from my youth. So it was just self-medication. One of those get me out of here moments, and where you want to escape from is your own brain, your own head.
How often have you used substances throughout your life?
Having started with my mother's nerve pills at 11, of course, the that's around the age that you're introduced to marijuana, you're introduced to, and also depending on where you're living and who you're associating with and who's around the neighborhood. I wasn't shy to try a substance for to see if the effect of it would maybe even take a bit more of the edge off. So I started at 11, and I mean, I even mentioned this in an interview in TV Guide, if anyone remembers TV Guide, in 1989, where I was asked by the journalist why I believed that kids who were watching the show 21 Jump Street about police officers in school undercover cops, but as students, I was asked why these kids or whoever should believe me or trust me or listen to me, and I said, look, I could, because I've experienced it, and I can tell them that there is no future in it, that there's nothing but a kind of a postponing of the inevitable. That one day you're going to have to face those feelings. One day you will meet those, let's call them demons from your youth. So I was straight up open and honest at that time in a very, I mean, TV Guide was right at the register when you checked out of the grocery store. It was like the most popular thing, and it was a very straight little magazine. But I told them I'd pretty much done all the drugs that I was aware of by the time I was 15 years old, and which was true. Now, that doesn't mean to say that I continued into that, you know, forest of possibilities with regard to substances. I wasn't dropping acid every 5 minutes. There were many years that I didn't touch it. Substance and no drugs. There were many years that I didn't have a drink. So it's, as I said, it's never been for the sort of party effect. It's been for trying to numb the things inside that have that plague that can plague. Plague someone's who's experienced trauma, but the characterization of the characterization of my substance, quote unquote, substance abuse that's been delivered by Ms. Heard is grossly embellished, and I'm sorry to say, but a lot of it is. It's just plainly false. I think that it was an easy target for her to hit, because once you've trusted somebody for a certain amount of years and you've told them all the secrets of your life, that information then of course can be used against you, especially if it's taken to a point that is teetering on impossible, and teeters over impossible, in fact, at times. It's so, I am not some maniac who needs to be high or loaded all the time. I in fact, in Australia, from before Australia and in Australia, I had been off of alcohol for, I believe it was about 18 months.
Mr. Depp, you've mentioned some periods of sobriety throughout your life. How many would you estimate you've had?
Quite a number. You know, on various films, you see. I suppose, I guess maybe by example, if anyone's, well, if you're familiar with Hunter Thompson's book, Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, which I was lucky enough to make into a film and with Terry Gilliam, the film calls for myself and my attorney to be absolutely blotto out of our heads constantly throughout the film. And most people just assume that, well, they just got wasted and they filmed them. There would have been no way to, you couldn't act that. You couldn't, I mean, you couldn't make that film with two actors who were loaded. There would be no way. And then to the other extreme, Donnie Brasco, a film that I made about an FBI agent. I had to I had to go into a training regime where I had to eat five meals a day, drink five shakes a day, you know, these protein shakes per day, work out 3 to 4 hours a day because I had to gain 20 to 30 pounds of muscle. There was certainly no abuse of substances then. There's been no abuse of substances on film sets. There have been no, there's been no moments where I would have been considered out of control, never. In fact, it's not been mentioned, I'm sure they don't want to mention it, but I remember that because when I was with Ms. Hurd and her friends and we were all drinking wine, and I smoking marijuana, they used to tease me because of what they said was a ludicrous tolerance, because I never appeared loaded or high or any of that. Even if I felt a little spinny, no one would have ever known. You know.
Mr. Depp, is there any substance that you've ever been addicted to?
Yes.
And what is that?
Roxycodone, or Roxycontin, which is it's an opiate. It's I think oxycodone has the opiate and then some pain like paracetamol or something, and then the Roxys are just the opiate, as far as I remember. And when I was working on Pirates 4, and there was a scene in which I had to grab this large gold and red, you know, stately gilt chair, pick it up and throw it, chuck it out this big giant window. And so I did it, and as I swung around to throw the chair out the window, I felt this immediate electricity from the bottom of my spine down my left leg, and it was like an electricity that burned. So I had obviously done something. So I went to, I saw a chiropractor or a kine or whatever. I saw chiropractors and to no avail. Then I saw a doctor and the only pain medication that she recommended and prescribed to me was Roxycodone. There was a part of me that was a little bit worried, just in a sense that I know I've witnessed friends and people over the years who have who've had problems with heroin, you know, and I didn't want to get bit by that snake. And I started taking the Roxys, and I was bit by the snake. And then before you know it, that monkey is on your back to stay. And it's not like you take those pills to get high. You take them to... Once the addiction has grabbed hold of you, you're not taking those pills to get high. You're taking those pills to get well, or to get better. Because if you're without the pill, your body will start to go into various you'll withdrawals. And so I was on the Roxy's for a number of years, 4 or 5 years, I think, maybe more, I don't know. But the key was that I if you take two, you will be what they call on the knot. You will be that. You will just drop into sleep. Yes, I didn't like being dependent on these pills. I didn't like being dependent on a drug that would you take only so you wouldn't get withdrawals. That's what it becomes. It's like a junkie. The reason why so many, now there's a huge fentanyl problem, but the reason why junkies generally, why they end up overdosing, is because they're looking for the first high again. And you don't get that. You don't get your first high again. So what do? You up the stakes and you put more, you take more. And that's what makes that's what makes things go dark for them, because they overestimated the amount that they, that their body could tolerate, and they go blue and they die. So, didn't want that.
Mr. Depp, do you have an estimate as to what year you started taking the opiates that you just described?
When 2000, or excuse me, it was Pirates. Bless you. Four, I believe. Pirates 4. No, it was Pirates 4. Rob Marshall directed it. I don't know what year that was. Maybe. I actually don't. I have no idea what year that was.
Was it before you were in a relationship with Ms. Hurd?
Yes. I believe so.
And you didn't detox, and you detoxed from those opiates during your relationship with Ms. Hurd, is that right?
Yes. Yeah, so they, of course, yes. Yeah, so they must have, yeah, they did come around prior to my meeting Ms. Hurd.
After you detoxed from the opiates, have you ever taken any opiates ever again?
No, I can't. That's a, no. Once you've been bit, you'll be bit again. So no, even with my finger, I think that it was like Motrin 800, but no opiates. No, I have not taken an opiate since, and I won't unless I plan on going through the hell of the pure horror of detoxing, of coming off those drugs. No.
Mr. Depp, I'd like to now turn to your relationship with Ms. Hurd. Can you please tell the jury how you met Ms. Hurd?
Mm-hmm.